It's a good one to talk about right now because I know a lot of you woke up when I said that, the blame game. And there's a lot of people in society are blaming other people for their problems. We blame the government, we blame Trump, we blame China, the Chinamen, we blame the black people, we blame the native people, we blame the white people. Everybody's blaming everybody, pointing fingers at everybody else for what's going on. And nobody wants to take responsibility. And so I wanted to talk about that from the scriptures and show you what the scriptures say. I do want to talk about protection, protecting yourself in these times, protecting yourself from the evil one. And also wanted to talk about getting your children delivered from drugs, getting your children delivered from various things. There's many people that I see every day, every week, that have trouble with addictions. Some of you have other addictions, not just drugs. Some of you have trouble with promiscuousness, different bad habits, gambling, anger. People have trouble with resentments, different things that people have trouble getting over, disappointments. I want to minister on those areas that I feel that is so important to us, because there's an answer. If there's a God, there's an answer to everything. And I feel like there's so much to talk about. I've been talking to a lot of people. Sometimes people call me, they're ready to do away with themselves, suicide, people's loved ones dying, and there's so many needs out there. People's children are on drugs. I get calls from people who are on drugs. Yesterday, the day before, people dying, and there's lots of help. You know, we can go home and pretend the world's okay, and we're just trying to survive ourselves. And but we need to lend a hand. We need to help out other people. When we become strong, it's our duty to help out our neighbor. And so across the world, no matter where it is, we need to pray for people. And all these things I've been involved with, I've had difficulty getting over stuff. So let's talk about personal protection. And go to our scriptures. And let's find out where we should go here. Psalm 91 was, I think we started out with Psalm 91. If you want to go to Psalm 91. Thank God for the protection of the Lord. The Bible says, we talked about two things last time, how God protects us. And we wanted to spend time on the third one. And if I get ready to finish on the third one, I'm going to hit on some of those other areas. If not, well, you know, this has just been in my heart. So what's been in my heart is if God stirs me up a certain way, then there's needs there. So, you know, there's something called the discerning of spirit. And God will use that gift in the pastoral office because there's so many needs. You begin to stir the pastor and show him different areas where the needs are. That's why when Paul prayed to the second Corinthians, he said, I did not come, you know, in my own speech. First Corinthians chapter 2, I didn't come to you with excellent speech of man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The demonstration of Spirit is when the minister speaks to your heart through the gifts of the Spirit, what's going on, and answers your questions without you ever telling and talking to someone. That happened to many times, even as I sat with someone, because of the gifts of the Spirit operating, the person there would speak directly to me and name specific things about what was happening in my life. And I thought, how did this happen? My friend must have told him I had this problem or I'm struggling with this. And that happened to me so many times. I go to church and I said, I'm going to talk to the pastor, come to church. And I'm sitting in the service and all of a sudden the pastor starts ministering this to me. That's called a demonstration of spirit, that you know God's talking to you and there's something happening there. Demonstration of power is when God manifests himself outwardly in people's lives. You begin to see healings and you see signs and wonders, and those are demonstrations of the power of God. And so we need to pray for that. We need to pray for God to minister in such a way that we know for sure. And the people said, you know, about Paul, they said, God is talking. God is among us. Why? Because he demonstrated God in that fashion. And I pray that that prayer that Paul prayed. A lot of times I say, Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray, let my preaching be not we with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's my prayer every service, that I would stand and preach the gospel, and I would say what I need to say, and that people will get ministered that way. So we need to believe God for that. And Paul, or at least Peter, prayed in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, verse 28-29, right down, he says, verse 24, he says, stretch forth thy hand, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. I think in verse 28-29 says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see in chapter 5, it says there that God moved among them with signs and wonders, and God answered their prayer. So God wants all of us to believe him, not just one or two people, not just a pastor, not just a pastor team, but everybody. If we want this to happen here, we have to believe together. Now, I want to say something here, because the Lord began to talk to me this morning, okay, so we're online. People are watching online. Some people are not from our church. Sometimes I'm going to be talking to these people, not you. So you get to listen to me pastoring the people. And so I'm going to be talking to some of these people, but I might not be listening, talking to you directly, but you can learn from what I'm talking to when I'm pastoring the people here. Not everything I say is for you. And so you get to hear me pastoring, talking to people. And so not everything I say is for everybody out there. And not everybody watching is here like you from week to week, twice a week sometimes, maybe more than that sometimes. So sometimes people can take something I say and misappropriate what I say, because they haven't been here for all this time hearing the history of what's going on in the church, inside the church. So if you're listening from outside and you don't belong to this church, you're not from here, you don't work beside me, you don't work among the people, so you might not understand everything, but you'll understand the word and apply it to yourself. So a lot of times I remember listening to Pastor Price, Dr. Price. I watched him for many, many years. After service, I'd leave my own service, and I'd have lunch, and I'd watch Dr. Price. He's a pastor of a church at Prince Christian Center in Los Angeles, California. A couple of years ago, I went to visit that church. It's a 10,000-seat auditorium called the Faith Dome. And I would see him pastoring this church, and he would talk to the people in a manner I would just get aghast. Well, how could he talk to people like this? And I guess when people watch me, they wonder how I talk to you, because they don't know me and they don't know you. So it's a different story. So I just want to make that clear, so that, maybe you're a guest in the church and you've never, maybe your pastor doesn't act this way is like me. So everybody's different. And so not everybody's going to be for me. Not everybody's going to like me. I realize that. And not everybody's going to like you. Sometimes you like me. Sometimes I don't like you. And so we get along together, right? Doesn't mean we have to leave each other. Just because we agree. I heard a good quote about 2 weeks ago, that just because we don't agree together and don't see the eye to eye doesn't mean you're not my friend. And so we still need to be friends. So that's important. So this is a little bit of pastoring this morning. Amen. I got three sermons on the go here. We'll get to them. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, the protection of the Lord, or personal protection. In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. And I mentioned that there's two sides of protection. One side is your side. The other side is God's side. God is going to do his part. And you have to do your part to protect yourself. God's not going to protect you if you fall out of line and do what you want to do. Now, God's mercy extends to some of those areas. If you go out and make mistakes, and you're weak, and you do different things, and you go out there, there's grace for it. But if you habitually decide that's the way you're going to live, haphazardly, and just do what you want to do, make mistakes, and don't care about it, well, there's a time when God will have to deal with you and he'll pull his protection from you because you want to be alone. You want to do what you want to do. A lot of times people get in trouble, Christians do, and they blame God for what's happening in their lives. When it's not God, it's themselves. They pull themselves out. Now, God promises protection, definitely does that, but he's not going to save and protect you if you're going to be rebellious and act stupid. Lots of scripture for that. You can live long if you want to, or you can live short because of your own ways. You read the book of Proverbs, the Bible says you can extend your life or you can shorten your life depending on how you live. Doctors can tell you different things. If you want to, here's a way to make your life a whole lot better, stop smoking. My brother, I had two brothers with cancer in the lung. We talked many years. My mother died with cancer in the lung. I talked to mother. I pleaded with mom. Sat beside her bed. Said, "Mom, please quit smoking." She'd fall asleep with a cigarette in her hand. I'd go take that cigarette out of her hand. I said, "Mom, you fell asleep with the cigarette again." And she'd have brown fingers because of it. Her hair was supposed to be white, but it was yellow because it smoked too much. I said, "Mom, please." And God delivered her many times before, but she eventually died from cancer. And the same with my brother. He died from cancer. He shortened his life. He was 52 years old and died of cancer. My mom was 59 years old and died of cancer. Not too long ago, my other brother came to me, had cancer in the lung, and the Lord spared him. Because I prayed for him. And he prayed for himself. And other people joined him. No, I didn't go online and ask everybody to pray for him. I knew what I could do. I could pray. And I said, "Lord, give him some more life. Give him some more time. He's not old enough." So you can plead for someone. But if you don't know how to plead for your cousin, your wife, your daughter, if you don't know how to plead on behalf of them, they're going to die. I remember Brother Higgin used to tell us this very solemn warning. He said, "You know, some people are going to die if you don't pray, if you don't know how to pray." It's our job to pray for them. I remember the Lord spoke to me about some things, and the only guy I can hear that I actually can relate to was Ernie. I know Ernie, we tease Ernie about it, but this guy is a praying machine. If you want to get things done, I know Ernie, we might look down on him in some areas. Like, look at his hair right now. And if you get around him, you start smelling KFC. But don't let that fool you. The man is a praying machine. If you want to get it done, he'll call. I mean, there's times in my life during my hard times. I had very hard times last time, you know, with my family. And the only guy I can point to was this man here. I knew he can pray. He prayed with me. And I thank God for Ernie. I pray that God will, you'll stand, somebody else will stand with you. If I don't sleep, I'll stand with you. And so I can pray with him. He prayed, and he would give me different things. Give me words and different things. And so don't judge people by their cover. You know, he's got a cover. He's undercover. So we like to tease Ernie around this house. So he takes the He takes a lot of stuff from me. Sorry about that, Ernie. But the Bible says that the Lord will keep you safe. Notice that. Psalm 8:4-8, he says, the Lord will keep you safe. Everybody say, the Lord. Say, the Lord. Say, the Lord will keep me safe. So the Lord will keep you safe. I said, there's two sides to protection. One is God's side. You have to figure out what will God do? And then your side, what are you supposed to do? So that's what we're talking about. And so we live, the psalmist in the Psalm 91 says, we live under the shelter of the Most High God. But we know it's not automatic, that protection is not automatic, that there are things that we must do to ensure that we're going to stay current. You know, if you have, how many of you got protection for your car? You know, you got car insurance, whatever, house insurance. And you have to stay current. Make sure your whatever is up to date. So the Bible talks about that God lays a canopy or a covering or a shelter over us from the enemy. In fact, when you're under the cover of the Most High, the devil can't find you. That's why in 1 Peter 5, it says the devil, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says he's looking for someone to devour. I heard a Satanist say this. He says one of the easiest things to do is kill a nominal Christian, because they don't know how to use their weapons. They don't pray. They don't follow. But he says for someone who is a Christian that knows how to use the faith, they know how to use the blood of Jesus and employ their angels, you can't kill them. I had a friend who was he called himself. He said, "I was a medicine man." So in our tribe, we would send curses to different ones and different things, families, and said, after I got saved, I had to put away some of my what they call medicines and my practices. I put it away, destroyed that. And the Lord said to me when they sent different things, curses, he said those spirits would come back to him and say, we cannot go and penetrate the wall. There's a protection around them. You know, Job talks about that there's a wall, a hedge of protection around the believer. How many people believe that? There's a protection. The blood of Jesus covers you. And the Psalm 91 says there's a hedge of protection. There's a shelter. We're under the shelter, and the devil can't find you when you stay under there. And so it's when we get out of the will of God that we get into trouble. I remember Dr. Hagin talking to us in school about, he said there's a couple of times that he had problems. Three times, but I believe it was. The first time he talked about having a heart attack in a church service when he was preaching for the full gospel of businessmen. And he fell over and he was about to die. And his mother was working in some place there in the church, whatever. And she came running over, knew that something's going on. And he said he was dying, and he remembered as he was dying. He said, Jesus said to him, remember I told you the anointing is in your hand. Put your own hand on your chest and pray for yourself, and the anointing is in your hand. So he prayed for himself. And so Jesus told him, the reason why, you see, the devil got to you because you came out of my will, my perfect will. How many people know in the perfect will of God, the devil can't get to you? But there's something called the permissive will. It's neither here nor there. It's no black or white. It's in a gray area where you can get to, where it's not sins, but it's out of the will of God. And you might think it's safer, but the devil has access to you. And when we're in the shelter, he doesn't have access to you. And so it's good for us to understand that we need to get into the protection of God and stay there so that we don't get attacked. Or our children wouldn't get attacked. You know, if you're in the will of God, how many people know if you're in the will of God, the Bible says you can rescue sinners from death. Google it. Find it in your Bible. The Bible says you can rescue your own children from death. You can go to his camp. and take them. We sing about these things in, over there. I remember, go to the enemy's camp. And well, I don't know what that song goes, but you go and take back what the enemy stole and whatever. I can't remember that song. We should sing that. And we most people don't even know what they're singing about. We need to see Scripture. It has to be in our heart so that when we speak it out, it's faith. You're not trying to have faith by making confessions. That's okay to make confessions to make yourself have faith. It takes a while to do that. But you can meditate on the Word of God yourself regularly. How many people know when you're walking around your house, taking a walk, doing something, and you're meditating the Word or talking to yourself, repeating the Word to yourself, telling yourself, looking at the Word, telling yourself what the Word says. You're meditating the Word. Meditating the Word is talking to yourself about the Scriptures. That's what meditation is. It's muttering to yourself, chewing the Word, telling yourself what the Word says. And answering back the devil. The devil says to you something, you say, no, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And you pull out a Scripture. And you talk back. You know, Mark Hinkins always says this, never face your giant with your mouth closed. You have to open your mouth and say to the giant or your enemy what you need to tell him, what you believe. Because faith is released but with your words. That's how you got born again. So we can stay in the shelter of the Most High by saying that you're protected and walking in that protection. Psalm 91 is called the protection psalm. It says, Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. My goodness, rest. We want rest. We want peace. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Bible says, I was praying this morning, Psalm 23, it said, Lord, you are my protector. You are my shepherd. In you do I find rest. In you do I find sustenance. That's where you feed me. That's where you lead me when we're under his rest. Verse 2 says, this I declare of the Lord, or this I say about the Lord. This is what I do to make confession of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. You know, the psalmist says, I will lay down in safety and I'll have peace. So this is what you need to say. He's my God, in him will I trust. Verse 3, for he will rescue you, or you will say, he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from every deadly disease. This is what our confession is. Yes, we wear the mask. Yes, we keep up. We do wash our hands. We should wash our hands anyway all the time. Mom always tells you before, wash your hands. You're coming out, eating dirt and stuff. And then you want to eat dinner right away. Wash your hands. So washing our hands, keeping our distance. Make sure we're not spitting on anyone, getting too close on with people. So God promises you, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous world out there. We need to always be aware and to be alert. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, the Common English Bible says that understand that in the last days, you know, it's been the last days since Jesus left. You know, that's what it says. In the last days, there'll be dangerous times. You know, some of us we're sleeping. We don't see the danger. We're just walking around, not even knowing there's dangers. You know, people shooting, walking around. We don't even know. So we need to be protected. We need to stand firm against the enemy. 1 Peter 5:9 says we have to stand firm against the enemy with our faith. We must do our part to stay in the protection. It's not entirely up to God. He says, Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, you must learn You must come to God. You must walk with God. If you want God's protection, you must walk with God. The other morning, I heard the Lord say to me, some people want peace, but they don't want to pay the price for it. You want peace. You want peace in your heart, but you're not willing to pay the price. There's a price to having peace. That's sometimes you have to do some things to keep peace. You know, it's important to do that. So from every deadly disease, from everything possible that would come to you. The biggest challenge today for all of us is to learn how to handle fear. So you're not going to live in this world without facing fear. So face the fact that you're going to have to be courageous. Being courageous does not mean the absence of fear. You have to be brave. You say, you know what, I have this problem, but I'm still going to move ahead. So this church right here is called Faith City Church. It's not called Fear City Church. It's called Faith City Church. You need to come here. And when you come here long enough, then all of a sudden you're not going to be afraid like you used to be. Amen? So even though the Bible says, verse 7, Psalm 91, New Living says, even though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. That's amazing that these things are not going to touch you. That's what God's promise is when you're in the secret place of the Most High. Yeah, someone got sick beside you, but it doesn't have to touch you. That's what the scripture says. So don't be stupid and do something that's out of the outside. Why will these evils not touch you? Verse 5 and 6 says, why these things happen? Because you're not walking in fear. You're not living in fear. He says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the dread of disease that stalks at darkness, nor the disaster. So you're not going to be afraid of terrors or the terrorist. You're not going to be afraid of diseases. You're not going to be afraid of any disaster. So you're going to claim protection. You're going to claim every day that God, you're my protector. You're going to keep me safe because I'm walking with you. Being afraid subjugates you to all kinds of bondages, particularly dying. If you're afraid of dying, get to know the Lord. Get to be with Him. So we have to live courageously. So God covers you with His canopy. The Bible says, like a winged animal or a winged bird, or like a bird, an eagle, different ones he uses. Even he says birds. Sometimes he says eagle. And so he'll do this, and he'll cover you. And, you know, you could do that yourself by confessing the blood of Jesus over your life. You could do that. You know how to do that. And then we also talked about when you speak right. We showed you different scriptures. We don't have that. We're going to talk about that now. But angels will go to work for you and protect you if you speak right. So angels they're only activated when we speak God's word over our lives, when we pray the protection over our lives. Angels only act on the word. They act like your word should be in line with the scriptures. So someone was talking about on one of my friends, they were in a car accident not too long ago, and they had this huge accident, and all of a sudden they said an angel moved their vehicle back on the road, like they were going to tumble and die, but they felt a grabbing, and they were put back on the road. A friend of mine, in fact, I think it was your brother-in-law, said this to me. He said, you know, I was driving down the road one morning coming back from a meeting. He said, I'm driving down the road, and it's early in the morning. He said, I'm driving fast down the highway. Then I heard a voice said to me, slow down! He said, he slowed down right away, and there was a moose. He heard the voice first, and he said he knew it was an angel of God, spoke to him. So it's important that we hear. So canopy, covering, God covers you. Number two is angelic protection. And we could show you different times that in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, that angels came and protected the people of God. Every one of you have an angel. And he's there. He's there from the time you're born. He'll carry you into glory when you leave here. Glory to God. There's a bunch of angels here today. Amen. They're everywhere. You can't see them. In fact, there's more than your angel here. There's more than one angel here. More than your angel. More than my angel. They're here today. The Bible says the angel encamps around all those who fear him. So we have angelic protection in this place. Glory to God. Look at your friend. There's an angel right there. Okay. But there's another way that God will protect you. The third way is that God will send you warnings. Look to your neighbor and say, God will send you a warning. Just like that man, this was a drastic one where he said, it was late at night and I heard a voice says, slow down. And then all of a sudden, here's a big moose. So he was waiting to, there on the middle of the road. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God will show you future things that can hurt you. He can tell you simple things. I've said this for years. He can tell you to stop eating certain foods. He can tell you to eat certain foods. He will say to exercise. Like I heard Kenneth Copeland says, he never exercised, but lately he's 80 years old, 82 now. He said, I'm learning to exercise. The Lord says, if you want to live, you're going to have to exercise. Amen? So you have to exercise. So all of you that are not exercising, like, oh, I walk to the fridge. No, we're not talking about that. I clean my house. No, it's more than cleaning your house. You're going to say, this is for me. I'm going to work on my glutes. Oh, what is that? What does that glutes mean? They're behind, eh? Okay, so, because one day I went in the gym and I saw a lady doing this. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on my glutes. So I said, maybe I should work on the glutes too. So anyway, you shouldn't ask questions and mind your own business. So John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Guide you. Everybody wants a guide. He'll guide you into all truth. Everybody say truth. See, some people like to lie. Oh, I'm slim. So I had to put on that pant. Only one leg, you know. But see, you gotta listen to your wife. Or your mother or whatever, been telling you got to do certain things, slow down, or you eat too fast. So the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. He'll use people around you to tell you the truth. You know what? Sometimes the truth hurts. Huh? And so it doesn't matter. You need to take the truth. He will speak. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He'll tell you, listen, if you don't make changes, these are the things, the consequences. So make the changes now. I talked to some older people. They always said, if I knew that not eating right and developing a habit of exercise would help me, I would have done it a long time ago. I would have kept my teeth. I would have, my bones would be stronger, whatever. I wouldn't have these. Whatever. Anyway, Proverbs 27:12 says this, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. That means a fool. And the common English Bible says prudent people see evil and hide, and the simple-minded go right into it and get punished. So we need to see that we can protect ourselves by warnings. Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. There's a story I wanted to relate to. I heard of a member of the tsunami that hit the other part of the world there, of a pastor and his family who had a check not to go to where this place was, and he was saved from disaster. Many times people say, why didn't God protect those people? They're Christians. Why didn't God protect that man? He's a pastor. Why didn't God protect that man? He's a minister. He's a prophet, whatever he was. Why didn't God protect them when they died from an accident, whatever it was? So the real question is, why didn't those people listen to God? Why didn't he live? Like, a lot of people want to go different places. I want to go here, I want to go there. And God never told them. I remember Brother Moore said this to him. Every time I do something and have trouble with people or have trouble with different things, he said, I always ask myself, did God tell me to do this? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing at the wrong time? So we need to ask ourselves some questions. If you have trouble, are you doing the right thing? It's not because you had conflicts, it's because maybe you're not doing the right thing. Here's a story of here in 2 Kings 6, 8 to 10, New Living Translation, I want to relate to you. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Armenians are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send a word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. Verse 10 says this, the king of Israel sent place, he warned him. He said, notice that, he warned him and he saved himself. Verse 10 says, the King James. In the King James, look at this, 2 Kings 6:10. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him and saved him there, not once or twice. So there's many times, because you listen to the man of God, you listen to the word of God, and he was saved. I was listening to a story up in Tulsa when I was in Tulsa in the school. Brother Keith Moore would tell a story. He says, he's teaching us different courses there. He said there was a lady that, she was planning on going to a different part of the city in Tulsa. I believe it was the north side of the city. It was a little bit more trouble there in that city. So tell Luke you don't go there. And so the Lord warned this woman, don't go to that place. She was getting this check, and so she began to rebuke that check. She said, I come against that in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming protection. When the Lord was telling her, don't go there. And so she said, no. She misunderstood God, or she wanted to go in that section of town. And when she went there, she got mugged. She got robbed. And she said, why didn't God protect me? So he was talking about that. So he said, to come to think about it, I just felt I shouldn't have gone there. And so there's a warning on the inside of you. The Spirit of God, we read to you 16th chapter there of John. The Holy Spirit in verse 13 says he'll warn you, tell you of things to come. He said, if you don't go there, he'll show you that there's going to be some disaster for you there. I've had that happen different times where, the Bible says here, what if the king, 2 Kings 6:10, what if the king hadn't heeded the warning? The Bible says he saved himself by listening to that warning. Have a look at Ezekiel 3:7-19. It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. So he gave them the prophet. The word of God is the prophecy of God, is the prophet of God. That we need to hear the warning. When the Spirit of God speaks to you Scripture, begin to take heed of it. What does it mean to you? Meditate on it a little bit. Listen to it. So we need to take heed of the warning. We see here, particularly in the life of Jesus as an infant, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 12 to 15, God gave the wise men warnings that saved the life of Jesus and saved a life, you know, save a whole lot of trouble. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that you should not return to Herod, verse 12 says, they departed to their own country another way. Verse 13, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 14. Then he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So God gave a warning to the parents here of taking Jesus. You know, God will warn us as parents. He'll warn you to pray for your children along a certain line. Cover them in prayer. Begin to believe God for them. And seek his face. Truly seek his face. There's going to come a time in your own life where there won't be anybody but you facing the devil and the Word of God. It's a lonely place to be when it's between life and death. And you have to begin to stand on the Word of God and stay on the Word alone. Because nobody's going to be there to comfort you and tell you to pat you on the back and say you're doing good. No, you have to stand strong with the Word of God because someone's life might be on the line. So, the different stories you relate over the years about a man that I heard, Brother Hagin relates this man that worked in the oil fields and one night he had a dream. He said, I had a dream. I'm working in oil fields. He said, I went up on the pumper. Something happened. Something swung around. The wire came around and cut off my head, he says. He went to work that morning, and the boss said to him, you need to go up in there. He said, I'm not going up there. I had a dream last night that swung around and chopped off my head. And the guy says, no, I don't believe in superstition. So he got up there, and his head got cut off. You know, we need to take heed. I mean, that's a crazy thing to think about because sometimes we do things that get us into trouble because we don't take heed. We don't take heed of the warning that God has given us. Like, we're not trying to spectacularize these things, but these things do happen. Like, I haven't had spectacular dreams like that. You know, I've had different inclinations. You know, everyone has them, but no one sometimes listens to them. People lose money. They lose relationships. They lose different things because they never took heed of the warning on the inside of them. Anybody ever ran out of gas? You didn't take warning to your car. They said, you need gas. How much of a warning you need? So, the Apostle Paul, you know, sometimes the warnings, listen to this. Listen to it. Look at me. Sometimes the warnings are not so spectacular that you miss God. So here, sometimes people will miss God because they want something so supernatural, spectacular, like a premonition or something really large. So in Acts chapter 28, look at verse 9 and 11. Now when much time was spent, and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, reading from verse 10. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive. Everybody say, I perceive. Now, everybody here can perceive. Every one of us can perceive. It's not like a gift that Paul had. That we could develop more of a perception. Our perception could be much more wider range and much more clear than we could have because all our time is spent over here, outside, our bodies, our feelings, our natural inclinations. We spend all of our time in the natural. We forget a little bit. We spend very little about on the inside of us, our spirit, and the leadership of the Spirit of God on the inside. He said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and damage, not only of the landing of the ship, but also of our lives. He said, there's something about this trip here we're having. There's going to be trouble going on here. There's going to be people going to be hurting. There's going to be damage. There's going to be, such dangerous times that it's going to even impact our life or life itself. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than what those things which Paul were spoken by Paul. Sometimes people believe more the so-called experts than the man of God or what the scripture is saying or what the Spirit of God is saying. So Paul had a premonition. People think it's weird to have a premonition or a leading of the Lord. They think, he's getting too spiritual. No, everybody, we should all be led by the Lord. The Bible says Romans 8 and 16, 15, 14, that we are led by the Spirit. We're led by a witness. Paul didn't see an angel. He didn't have an angel visit him. He didn't have a vision. He didn't hear a voice. And so he had this premonition inside of him that this is going to be a situation. Now, we have to be, not so, everybody has this. Like I'm saying that everybody has this premonition inside of them. It's called a witness, an inner witness. That something is going to not right. We should pray about certain things and see what God is saying. We can't live assumingly. So here in verse 14, when the salt wind blew softly, supposing that they obtained their purpose, loosed thence and sailed. The next verse says, but long after there rose against them a tempestuous wind. So we can't live by assumptions. We need to live by our convictions, by the Word of God. We can't be led by troubles as well. We can't belittle our inner warnings and think it's not important if God's talking to you on the inside of you. We go through life so busy that we forget about our inside, our spirit. Verse 18 says, and being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out our own hands to tackling the ship. Verse 20 says, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. In other words, they lost hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood up before them in the midst and says, sir, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have this harm and loss. See, there's harm and loss that happens to people. You might get a harm and loss, but you might not die, but it's going to affect your life. They were with Paul. Paul said, thank God for the guy. He's a praying man. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He says that the Corinthians. But he says, the Lord's angel came to me last night. He said, Paul, you're going to be safe. Everybody on the ship will be saved. But only they're going to lose everything. They're going to lose the ship and all the production on there and all the stuff that's on there. All the, people send cargo over and all kinds of stuff. And so there's money loss, businesses maybe were upset. But they lived through it. They lived through it. So God warned Noah, the Bible says. So let's not wait for something super spectacular. Let's be in touch with our spirit. As we close the service, let us get ready to ask God and to ask God to forgive us. Maybe we hadn't taken heed. Maybe we're in trouble right now because we hadn't listened. We hadn't paid attention to our spirit. Thank God. So some people, as I mentioned, I just want to tack this on. Some of you, maybe, God's been speaking to you about your own families and what you need to be praying about. confessing over them, praying for them. We need to be stronger in our faith walk, and so we need to begin to say, Lord, what is it you want me to cover in prayer? And just don't wait for the Lord to tell you. Just go ahead and read the Bible and start obeying it. Cover them in prayer. We all need protection. We all need to arm ourselves. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God will He'll cover us. He said He would cover us. Yes, God has given us His angels. God has given us His Holy Spirit. And let's take heed. And each one of us, on the inside of us, we need to pay attention. We pay attention to our stomach. Oh, I need to eat now. Why? I just feel something moving in there. It feels hollow. Do we pay attention to what our mind is saying? You know, our mind tells you something. Oh, I got to do this. But what about our spirit? God is speaking to hearts right now. God is speaking to you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that you said you'd promise to protect us, and that you sent your Holy Spirit here to lead us and guide us, direct our lives. You said in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit, He will give us the truth. He will tell us the truth about it. Maybe there's some things we don't want to hear. We need to hear it. Whatever truth it is, the Bible says, Jesus said, that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's when we come to God and say, Lord, maybe I haven't been honest with you. I want to be protected, but I'm acting foolish in some area and not doing what I'm supposed to do. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We ask you to forgive our sins of disobedience and rebellion, walking out of your will and your plan, which caused harm to not only to our personal lives, but our whole family. We ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus right now. And I know you said you'd forgive us if we confess it. So we do right now. Thank you. You know, people, there's a time that we need to confess to God. It's important to confess. It's important to tell God where is it you missed it and that you need help. Thank you, Lord. If you need help, an assistant, spiritual guide, or whatever counsel, God will give you that through His Word and through the men of God, women of God around you, His family. We thank you, Lord God, today. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you for protection. I know you have done your part, and I'll do my part to protect my home, my family, all my stuff. So I come to you right now. I'm turning my will and my life over to care of you. In the name of Jesus, thank you for long life, victorious life, a life that's under the protection of God. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're watching online right now, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you just can say today, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. Very simple. Say that prayer. You're not born again. If you need any kind of material, I would like to send to you some material to help you in your spiritual walk with God. Call us, write us, and we'll send you a package to help you to live a victorious life. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Pastor Steve.